Hi, guys. This is an episode that just sort of gives a little glimpse into who we are, why we're doing this, and what to expect moving forward. If you choose to listen and honor us with your ears, moving forward with our podcast. So yeah, if you want to listen to it, feel free. It's going to be a little bit of a listen to, but it's not too bad. If you want to skip forward, the episode starts after this one. So yeah, have fun. In case you out there in podcast land and the internet world stumbled across this so-called D&D actual play podcast that us four people have decided to
fifth edition
to literally just beat into existence against all odds, I want to say congratulations and welcome to From Afar Podcast.
Yay! Yeah. Hello, everybody.
You've found us.
What's going on?
Yeah, so let's do a quick little sound off.
You're finally awake.
Hey! There's that beautiful, beautiful voice. Let's do a quick little...
I honestly try to get him to do it almost every time we hop on.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, though, Dave.
No, it's fine. I'm used to it. Just kidding. Let's just... do a quick little sound off. I forget our order, but I'm going to leave that up to you guys.
Hey, I'm Andy Tilstra. I am David's little brother, and I love memes. I just love them so much.
All right, so that'll be a fun way to start introduce ourselves. We all need to name something that we love that starts with M. So
we're doing a nice icebreaker.
Yeah. Andy likes memes.
I love memes. I mean,
but the thing about an icebreaker is we need to get to know the other people as well. Hit us up on social media.
Hey,
From Afar Podcast. You can find us on all major platforms.
And I just want to throw this out there.
That's where we post, artwork of the party, memes, nudes of the players.
Ooh, all of it's original.
All of it's original content. Mm-hmm. These are our buttholes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We're not borrowing any buttholes.
And excluding the last little bit of this conversation, when we were coming up with a name, and I just want to get in front of this because I feel like if we ever do get fans,
let's just lean into it.
Air our dirty laundry. We literally did not know that the acronym From Afar Podcast is FAP. So...
until after we were way too far
it was,
into
right, it was too
after
deep.
A couple episodes had been recorded, and I think we had already like come up with
logos.
It was essentially just way too far along.
Yeah,
and it's kind of funny. I mean,
it's
hey,
fun.
It's FAP.
Who does that FAP? Who does it?
This is our promise to you, dear listeners. We are going to lean into our name. If you guys
we are going to lean into fapping.
Gross. Oh, man.
I mean, I'm a faphead. I don't know.
Are you
guys fapheads?
I'm a fapper.
Faps all
Fap
around.
Fap Nation, baby. Fap Nation.
Fap Nation.
Fappiness only comes from a fappy soul.
Oh, boy.
So now that we've gotten
out in front of that, you guys can't make jokes about us because we've already made jokes about ourselves.
Yeah, you can't bully someone who's bullying themselves.
Anyway, Andy likes memes. Christian, what's your deal?
Oh, hey, my name is Christian Spinella and I like to party.
Nice.
That's with a silent M in front of it, I think.
Yeah.
Party.
Oh, and I'm Goodwill Maxson, and I like morning coffee.
Ooh, nice. Well, and my name is David. Wait, who killed the coffee?
Wow.
That's the quality of jokes you can expect to see here, or here on FAPcast.
Ew.
FAPcast.
Technically, it's for podcast. If we're being
for podcast,
if we're being for honest,
FA podcast. No, but yes. My name is David Tilstra. I'm also Andy's little brother. I think we've made that joke every time we've done this.
Strange
done this
paradigm
intro.
We seem to be in.
But yeah, no, I'm David Tilstra. I'll be the DM on this one. We just decided. Oh, and I like the movie The Manchurian Candidate.
Oh yeah, that's actually a good one.
I don't think I've seen that, to be totally honest. Movies, dang it, movies would have been better than Manchurian Candidate.
Well, you did say movie Manchurian Candidate. Sounds like double M, double score.
There
double
it is.
The pride.
Double prize money over here.
Yeah. So, do we want to talk a little bit about why we're doing this?
I think we should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just. Once again, welcome, guys. This is gonna be an episode of just sort of just answering a few questions that we think you guys might have, and then just moving forward. If you have any more questions, feel free to shout them out to us, and we'll see if we can answer those at some point.
Drop us a line.
Yeah. Send us a letter.
We are doing this, you know, to really just have fun, but we love talking. Clearly, so
yes,
talking to other people.
All of us are 100%. The center of attention, mm-hmm. wherever
which is how you improvise and play D&D very well. Is yeah. you fight for that main that well, main role.
That's right.
Well,
and if you have to tear down your fellow players to get it,
yep.
then that's even better because then they won't question you anymore. You are the alpha. You're the funniest, and that's kind of what
true.
This is all about.
This is all about spotlight. Center stage, mm-hmm. just really making sure you are the one that everyone's looking at and that everyone else is falling to the sideline.
Yeah. That's why I'm the DM, because I wield the power to literally kill any of you guys. If you ever get too funny or have too good of a joke, just be careful because your characters might die just unexpectedly.
Oh, man. You want to be funny, but not too funny because David's going to...
Papa danger
kill your player
over
character.
Here.
He means kill you.
Oh no, yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Pay Amazon to go to your door and shoot you.
So this is a different approach to our podcast intro.
I like this aggressive, gritty approach.
This aggressive, just angry. I think it's going to work really well.
Yeah, I think it's really going to show people what we're all about,
which is hurting them.
But no, the reason why we are doing this podcast is we've all been friends since high school. We all went to the same high school at varying years.
Mm-hmm.
And we started playing a D&D campaign. We were running a loose interpretation of Storm King's Thunder, where I was DMing and the other three boys were playing. And David lived in California. Andy was about to go to Chicago. And Christian and I still weren't quite sure where we were going to end up. And so it became a way for us to just play together and still be in each other's lives, be involved regularly in each other's lives. And we ran that for about a year, and we just had a really good time with it. So we figured, hey, we're going to be doing this anyways. Why not record it, put it out, and see if other people have as much fun playing along as we do.
Yeah, so we just wanted to stay connected over long distance. That's where the name came from Afar Podcast. It has a pretty unfortunate acronym, but we went over a lot of names.
Unfortunate.
And a lot of very good names are already taken. So,
but
there's a lot
luckily,
of creativity in this
best
in this
name,
whole field.
The best name was not. And it's really just keeping us connected over long distance.
Yeah, and then that brings in the other part of it. The second meaning to the name is it evokes this kind of fairy tale, far off sort of epic adventure being told. These stories that we're going to bring to you are from a faraway land. They're from our imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
And as people that all of us have been on multiple improv groups together over the years, we all love creating, entertaining. So D&D has always kind of been this perfect storm of not only do we get to write, we get to act, we get mm-hmm. to improvise,
mm-hmm.
we get to do all of these things rolled up into one amazing package. And that's kind of why it's become so special to us, why it's become such a great bonding element. And the opportunity now to share our story with other people and potentially have them enjoy it and, you know, be along for the ride in the same way that we are. Cause you know, we never know what's going to happen next session. Mm-hmm. And every time Dave might write something, we will most likely do the opposite. So it's an adventure. Yeah. It's an adventure that we're bringing you guys, the audience, along with us on.
Well, I was going to say, David, that Christian gave us a good segue into you giving us a little bit of background on what this campaign will be and how you're writing it.
Yeah, so this campaign is a campaign that I've been writing for a little while. I mean, writing is in like I've been thinking about it for a while and like taking notes down and scouring Instagram for like inspiration. I've been sort of coming up with this idea. I've always the story, the campaign that we're running now is called The Quest for Atlantis. It's one that I've created. It's one that I'm writing on my very own, out of my own head. And what is exciting to me about it is I've always been sort of obsessed with the idea of Atlantis and how there's just sort of this story and almost all the old civilizations of this city that disappeared. And I think that's just something that's really cool. And it to me, it has a lot of metaphors of, or for myself, part of the reason I started writing this is it's just kind of that like idea that there's something greater just beyond the next horizon. There's something like this mysterious magical place that if you can just get to, if you can just achieve that, you'll have found sort of this nirvana, sort of this paradise. And it sort of came to my head when I moved out to Los Angeles from Orlando. I separated from the boys and I moved out to Los Angeles about 4 years ago. And it's just sort of, that's sort of the world I'm living in right now. I'm sort of chasing this dream of achievement and trying to find that sort of nostalgic lost like dream of success and creation. And that's sort of some of the a very quick summary of why I've sort of been inspired to talk about Atlantis and send these boys on a quest across the seas to find this lost city. But yeah, so it's something that I've been working on for a while, something that has always just sort of intrigued me. And I hope that the way I write it and the way the boys play it will be intriguing and exciting and fun for all of you all out there in the ether. I don't know if that answered your question, Andy.
No, I think that's a great answer. And also another great segue into shining some light on the characters that we'll be playing. I don't know if Andy, if you want to start us off, tell us a little bit about why you wanted to create the character you did, why you connect with them. What is it about Arius Onos?
Right. So,
also who and what is Arius Onos?
Yeah. So Arius Onos is the hobgoblin samurai fighter from a faraway land. The archetype I was going for, well, let me start. I love like monstrosity characters like orcs, goblins, bugbears. I'm playing a bugbear in another campaign with David. And I just like this idea of like, I mean, it's a little on the nose for a lot of the things that are happening in like today's world with like politics and race and even like other things in race, just like lifestyles. So I like this idea of someone having something so obvious about them and they have to find ways to deal with it. So I like that idea. Arius, when I designed Arius, I was doing it from an idea of someone whose time has already come and gone. And through a circumstance, he's been re-thrusted into a sort of spotlight. Like he's an old warrior who already lived his life and he's already satisfied. But through circumstances that will come up in the show, I mean, mainly a pretty catastrophic event in his life, he has to leave and kind of become the adventurer again that he thought he never would have to do. So, and also what I like the idea is like, through like sort of like strange events of the deities in this world, like the main adventurer that I should have played, he died, and now I'm using this like stand-in figure, like, and that's Arius Onos. Like it's this character that he was like, oh, I didn't want to do this, I didn't want to be here, but through this event I have to do this now. He may not really want to, but through his honor and his connections to his family and his clan. He has to. I'm trying to think of anything else. I really was inspired by, obviously, a lot of samurai culture, and also most of his name is Latin. So I looked at a lot of Latin stuff, and what it means is the honored one embronzed. So it's like the embronzed honored one. So I liked that idea of like bronze and metal and these images of like how metal can relate to characteristics. So, and the characters in his life revolve around metal and around the Latin words that are pretty on the nose about their characteristics. But that was how I went about this. But really, it's focusing on this like oldened and wizened character who had his moment, and now he's being kind of re-thrusted into something that he didn't really want. But that's Arius Onos.
That's awesome.
Yeah. From a storytelling and storyteller standpoint, like I think Arius has been a lot of fun, because this you might have picked up on this. We're actually recording this intro a decent little ways into the recording of the episodes. But it's one thing that's been really fun and really exciting to me about Arius is the way you're playing him is very much kind of like in the Joseph Campbell realm of like the reluctant hero. And just like that kind of archetype, and you're playing him very well, and it's very exciting to me, because I feel like a lot of times in these, actually all three of you guys kind of fall into this, a lot of times in these D&D campaigns, it's just a lot of like like Genji main style people who are like, I'm here to just like be the main person, I'm going on this adventure, but like all you guys have very sophisticated, mature reasons for doing what you're doing. It's very cool, personally. Like the relationships that we're making and the moments that we're creating are they seem very mature, and I like them a lot. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Yeah. Andy, Arius is fantastic. Tell
us about Kippa. Kippa is probably one of my favorite people I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
Kippa's amazing.
Just the fact that you feel like you've met him is a compliment. So Irulan Kippa Willowind is the character that I'm playing. He's a halfling glamour bard. Essentially, I created Kippa mostly one afternoon, kind of stream of consciousness, letting a lot of things sort of naturally flow out of me. The things that I wanted to connect with the character on, and some things even that I've realized through playing him a little bit, as David mentioned, we've already done a few sessions. Something that I found that I connect with him on is stuff that I maybe hadn't necessarily even originally intended, which is kind of fun. And what's so exciting about creating such complex, detailed characters, like I believe all of us have done, is the more that we get to play them, the more we also get to discover who they are.
They all do seem very alive, which is cool.
For sure.
And they're only going to get more and more so alive. And so essentially,
not if you guys
Kippa,
make funnier jokes than I do.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. essentially, Kippa is a character that has had to deal with a loss of innocence. He's a character who is searching. He's eternally curious and just wants to learn more and more about the world around him. He's a storyteller. So I think at his core, Kippa is a pretty simple, likable person. But due to circumstances that have happened in his life, it's forced a lot of complexity on him. A lot of things that he would rather not deal with, but as a result of everything that's happened, it becomes unavoidable. And so the way that I connect with the character is a lot of my own personal things that I struggle with are things that I see mirrored in him. I struggle with depression and anxiety, and some of those characteristics have found their way into Kippa as I've played him in a very natural way. So being able to connect with a character in that way and navigate that through the different situations that I've written and created, but also that David presents to us in, you know, interactions with my other fellow players, Scooby and Andy. And like they said, I think we've been developing a really mature and genuine sort of relationship between the three that will have very natural ups and downs. And it's a cool dynamic between the three people, because they really don't have a lot of similarities. And I think that gives them strength as a group.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I want to turn it over to Goovy. Goovy, you have put a lot of thought into Seekart, so I'm interested to see what you're going to say.
So as I said earlier, I was actually DMing for about a year with the boys. And in my experience with D&D, I've almost always been the DM. And I've had a couple one-shot characters, but aside from that, I didn't really have a lot of opportunity to have a player character. And so I felt a lot of weight when I was like, oh, we're going to be doing a long-term campaign. What the hell do I play? So I started Seekart's creation with just an idea of what type of thing I wanted to play. And the main one was I wanted something that kind of countered what I'm typically like. So I'm very, like, passive, and I'm not super, like, toxic masculine. And Seekart is quite literally, it is part of who he is, that he needs to be the strongest, being a conquest paladin. Oh, yeah, Seekart is a human conquest paladin.
Oh, wait. Also, don't forget, Christian, you didn't say what Kippa was. Sorry, keep going.
I did at the beginning, right? Halfling glamour bard?
Right, yeah, cool. I think you did. But, but he wasn't originally going to be a conquest paladin. I was back and forth between different classes because, again, not having a lot of opportunity to play things, you're like, oh, what do I want to try? I was thinking maybe a druid or a cleric or a warlock, and then I didn't want to be like Ford from Critical Role. So I started just with an idea, a concept, and the concept revolved around a ex-sailor that wields an anchor. But then I wanted to flesh out his character, and I started to just write a journal from his travels on the sea. And that sort of fleshed him out. And as it grew, Dave was like, hey, I actually need the write-up on your character. And I was like, oh, no, I've got like 15 pages. This is too much. So I parsed it down and realized I created a character that has a very strife-ridden past and isn't quite sure how to operate in society anymore. And it's been very exciting for me to play him as the more skeptical one, the more like sort of stoic one, but also the one who's like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're like, whatever it is, let's do it now. And for me, like, again, as knowing that this is a game, you know, I want to be like, oh yeah, this is the plot hook. Let me jump on it. But having to step outside myself and try something different and be the one that's like, I don't necessarily believe that's real, everything you're telling me and things like that, has been very interesting. But the other part of Seekart that for me is really important is it gives me an avenue to work through problems and dealing with grief and dealing with stress in life. Because he's having to work through what he's doing, and it sort of is this pseudo outlet to work through things that I'm dealing with. That's kind of why I made Seekart what he is.
Yeah, I think we've all done a good job. You were mentioning kind of like him being an extension or an outlet. A lot of the characters that we've created are dealing with trauma and problems that none of us have necessarily experienced in our own lives to that extent. So being able to then draw from our own lives and what stuff we have gone through and applying that in a way that makes these characters part of us, but also us part of them, is something I think that we've done that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I forgot to mention where I started with Kippa, we used to have this little game that we still do, but essentially we just pick someone that we know or someone in the friend group, and then we figure out what their class would be in real life. Like, as a real person, what would their D&D equivalent be? And Andy and Gooby came up with me being a glamour bard. So
oh, yeah.
I just decided, I was like, after playing like dark and gloomy characters in the last campaign. And
oh, gosh. Know, like,
I miss like Nintendo so much.
Nintendo had such opportunity to be the like not dark and gloomy guy, but then he became dark and
really,
gloomy.
He really got there just through like stuff that happened. So yeah. It was like, I was like, I just want to play a character that comes naturally. I'm like, I guess I'll just play myself in a way. And that's kind of the base that I started from. And then it became more complex and became an entirely different sort of thing.
That's kind of funny because when I designed areas, I did the complete opposite. I was like, I usually play the barbarian or the loud, like, or the wizard who's like really talkative or like this, like very charismatic, just very bombastic and usually more joyous or just emotional person. So I was like, what if I played someone who was like
Rigovious.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what if I played someone who's all about like discipline and restraint? Because I mean, if you know me in real life, I'm not the most restraining of my own emotions. So that's funny because
people's ears with how loud you are. But
yeah, so that's what's been. It's interesting hearing you to say how you. Like you're kind of embodying yourself. I mean, obviously, I think Aries embodies aspects of myself. I don't think he'd be playing a good dating character unless there was something like that. But how I was like coming at it from a different perspective. Which, I mean, I think it's just we're fleshing out our D&D expertise more and more, which I think is very useful.
And our acting expertise. Like, even though I started with kind of like a familiar base of trying to find and play a character more similar to myself as sort of like a base ground, because I knew that would be easier to play naturally, whereas in the past I've gone, you know, to both ends of the spectrum of trying to play characters that are nothing like me as an exercise and, you know, trying to just be better at role playing and acting. But even still, like, being able to play a character that is very comfortable to me and also still do things that aren't stuff that I would normally do. You know, I'm not aggressive. I'm not a very conflict driven person.
Boy.
And
you don't walk into a bar and declare that you're a pirate. What's up, motherfuckers? Like,
yeah,
that's not you. You don't normally do that.
That's not normally me. But, you know, having a little balance of both of stuff that's familiar and, you know, I can kind of put on shoes that I've walked in, but then also having the freedom to be an asshole sometimes because that's what the character would do is like, oh, cool. Like I can step outside of my comfort zone.
You're saying you aren't an asshole in real life?
Oh.
Yeah, Christian, I thought that was part of the you part of the character was the being an asshole.
The being an asshole part. I decided to try playing a character unlike myself, just a really nice guy, you know?
just a down-to-earth, genuine, nice guy.
Greg the Human.
Greg the Human.
Now that we've talked a little bit about us, unless Gooby, you have anything else you wanted to add, I was thinking David could maybe just give us some ideas of what the campaign would be like, but unless that's if you don't have anything else you want to add, Gooby.
No, I feel like we nailed it.
Yeah, that was good,
also,
guys.
Sieghart breaks the mold of me because he's a big, strong man, and he's jacked, and I'm just a tall, lanky man.
That's why you haven't met this character yet, but there's an octopus who embodies me most likely, most of all, because...
is it because you have eight limbs?
I have eight limbs, and I just sort of flop around, and I spray ink when I'm afraid. So that's where... The whole reason I wanted to go
with
this...
Can confirm, it was the worst growing up.
Yeah. No.
Terrible.
No, you know, I'm completely over the moon and completely obsessed with all three of your guys' characters and where we've gone and where we potentially can go, because... I have never written anything before, so this, no, I'm just kidding. I've never written a D&D campaign before. In fact, I mean, this, this probably won't come as a shock to anybody who listens to this who's played D&D. I've never really DM'd before. I'm kind of still finding out my structure and my technique and the way I want to write this thing. So I have a lot of ideas of where I want it to go, but as any good Dungeons and or Dragons player or DM will tell you, your characters will like see this glorious, clear, straightforward path you set before them, and then they'll be like, "Yo, what's that over there?" And then like run off that path, and then you have to shepherd them back. But that's part of what makes it that's what makes it fun and enjoyable.
What
were you about to ask? I got off on a tangent.
What did I originally ask, or what was I about to ask?
Both.
I think that answers what I originally asked. I'm trying to imagine someone who's just coming in. So what are some of the logistics that we can expect from like a listener standpoint? Like what are some things to expect from this podcast?
Could I say something real quick about that?
Yep, sure.
Basically, as someone, wondering like, hey, like why should I listen to these guys?
Dumb-dumbs.
There's a lot of D&D podcasts out there. And the one that we're creating is different because it's us. You listen to anything because of the personalities of the people and, being able to enjoy feeling that sort of company through the speakers with another person that you may not know. So our hope with this podcast is inclusivity. Like, we're just a couple of dudes who love making new friends. We love entertaining people. We love making people laugh and each other laugh. So with this podcast, we're trying to do some things different. We're trying to give a certain sort of vibe that's kind of like a book on tape. We're trying to immerse you through the editing that we're doing. We're also, we're funny guys. and hopefully, we'll be able to make you laugh, but also feel some real emotions. Because I know, like we were talking about, obviously we've put a lot of thought into all of our characters, but just as these characters interact and grow with each other, there's, already have been and will be, when we're playing and recording, intense moments of interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's been my favorite part so far, is in those quiet moments where we reconvene, or like when Sieghart helps Arius with, I'm not going to say anything because I forget people haven't listened to where we've actually gone to yet. But no, I 100% agree, Christian.
So then also a logistics standpoint, thank you, Christian. Like Christian said, there's a lot of other options to listen to when flying in the sky. So we're really happy you chose Delta. There's a lot of other D&D options. Some that are a lot that are way more clout and way more reputation than us. But we're just trying to have some fun with it. And one thing we're gonna try and do. We've talked about this a lot. Is we're gonna try to find ways to make it a little more unique and a little more exciting and a little more engaging for you guys. We haven't quite landed on anything yet, but something that's very important to me is we want to try and find ways to get you all involved as much as we can. So whether that's giveaways or names or guest appearances or whatever, like we haven't quite landed on anything yet, but I really want to have that be up front, that we want to try to have this be a living, active community. Even if it's just all our moms, we want to.
My mom wouldn't listen.
I don't think
my
would.
My mom
would
be the first guest.
Yay!
Oh my goodness, Mama Spin.
That would be hilarious. What would your mom play? What do you think your mom, class and race? What do you think your mom would play?
Oh man, I think my mom would have fun doing magic. So I might have her be like a sorcerer or something.
Oh, that's like the most complicated.
A human wild magic sorcerer.
Oh, please.
Yes. Ooh, that'd be so good. Oh, my God. My dad. I would love to have my dad. He would be a dwarf.
Straight up.
Like a dwarf. Oh, my gosh.
He definitely would be a bard. Like, there's no choice.
Yeah. He was my mentor. You guys are going to meet a character later on.
A dwarven bard.
I don't even know if he'd be a glamour bard, though.
Kippa's papa.
He'd be a Doug bard. He'd have to have his own subclass.
Level 20. Christian, level 20 Doug bard.
Christian, let your dad know if he ever wants to play. We will create a Doug bard class for him.
I'm sure he'll be very excited when he listens to this.
Yeah.
As What's up, bonus Mr. Spinella? Action, how you doing? You can give a bit of advice to help someone improve their role.
You can give it a bit of advice to a young adolescent, any race person. Help them get through high school.
You start off in your pack with some rations, a nice Chianti wineskin.
And some bowls.
And some nice bowls and a little bit of spice box, a little bit of spice box whiskey.
Nice.
All right, Doug. Love it. Doug, as a free action, you can pretend you didn't see that.
Oh man. But yeah. So we want to try to just make this a living, active community. So we're gonna do our best to try to make this fun. We have a couple ideas of different ways to expose different bits of our guys' backstories. We've just got some stuff in the works that we're really excited about, and we want you all to be a part of it. So we're gonna try and do like a bi-weekly situation. We're gonna record and we're gonna try to do a release on a bi-weekly thing. That might change, we don't know. We also, one other thing that we sort of discovered in editing, we're trying to keep these episodes on the shorter side, so like 45 minutes to about an hour is what we're aiming for. And granted, some are going to be longer, some are going to be different. But one thing that when we were talking to people about doing a D&D podcast, a lot of them were like, oh yeah, it's just so long. So we're trying to make
make it more digestible.
It more digestible. So yeah, that's the only logistics I can really think of. And like I said,
in the future too, I know our intent is that we would like to eventually branch off and try other games.
Absolutely.
We have between all of us and different birthdays and Christmases, we've amassed a library of other role-playing games, mm-hmm. and whether that's in like the form of one-shots or, you know, later on, if everyone enjoys us enough, like we could start doing side campaigns or stuff like that. That's just definitely
something.
But that
might be a Patreon.
Yeah, that might be a Patreon.
Yes. Just on that note, if we reach 10 million Patreon subscribers, we will make a Monopoly based role playing game that involves solely around money and hurting your friends by buying their houses.
I can without a doubt support that if we get 10 million,
10 million
people,
Patreon followers. Yeah,
if we get 10 million, I would do anything. You heard it here first, everyone.
If we get 10 million, I will get FAP tattooed right above my butt.
Dang.
You know, tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp, FAP.
I would do that. I would join you if we got 10 million.
I was going to say I didn't go that far, Gooby, but I did say anything, so.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You feasibly are going further than me, Christian.
And on that glorious, fun-filled note of FAP tramp stamp tattoos. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we let them dive into the episodes? You know, because we've got them already. We're ready to
go. So they can experience what we experience with us.
You can be on the same page as us.
Wow. So
can
what you're
join
saying
in the camaraderie and companionship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a great opportunity. I would be an idiot to pass that up.
Are you saying that they can listen from afar to our story?
They can.
And you know what? They can do it all. Every single thing we've been saying.
Everything. And all of this can be yours for 10 easy payments of just listening to our episodes.
Now it brings us to the important part.
This is going to be a pay-to-listen podcast. Each episode, let me get back to that. Each minute
Absolutely
of each episode
not.
Costs $10. thanks for listening, everybody. Boys, do you want to say anything else before we go?
No, this has been great. Every time we record, I feel a little bit closer to you guys and hopefully a little bit closer to the listeners. So this is Andy Tilstra playing Arius Ono, so you will soon get to know and you will love that Goostum root as much as he does. So I am signing off. See you guys later.
Yeah, I'm Christian Spinella playing Kippa Willowwind. You know, every time that we play, I feel a little boner. You know, I get a little boner when I play. And that's just what I'm bringing to you guys. That's what I'm bringing to the table. So this is Christian signing off.
And I'm Goodval Gooby Maxson. I'm playing Sieghart Nozagar. And every time we record, guys, I get a little closer to that fap tattoo.
Ooh, very true. Very true.
And I'm David.
Signing off.
I'm David. David Tilstra. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for giving us your support. And come with us as
yeah,
we.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We yes, weave thank a you. We weave a, an epically stupid story about chasing your dreams, living your best life, and lots of sailing on ships.
Just
so.
Really, it's all about living. Laughing and mm-hmm. and loving.
Nope. Yeah. No.
Eating. It's more about eating, praying, and loving. But that's a different story for a different time. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys. See you on the episode.